This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
The piece of Nefesh HaChaim that we're doing is Shaar Beis Perek He, section 2, chapter 5. Part of it I'll do inside the Perek and part of it I'll explain outside. He starts off by saying, Man lahavin ikaro shel inyan ha-tesefes v'ribui brocha b'ho'ilomos al-yidei ma'ase ha'odom. What I'm going to explain is the principle of abundance, tesefes, multiplication, brocha, blessing, in the world, in the universe, caused by human action. So we can trigger abundance, and that, you'll remember from last week and previous times, that's what a brocha is, the mechanism of triggering abundance, and how this works in these worlds. And he comes on to some very fascinating things. First thing he talks about is, the Gemara in Brochus, it says, Hani chamisho baruchi nafshi. These five mentions of baruchi nafshi, keneged mi amaron David. Who is David referring to in these statements? When he says, baruchi nafshi, my soul blesses. What's he talking about? Lo omar ela keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'keneged HaNeshama. He's talking about God and the Neshama. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu molei kol ha'ilon af HaNeshama melei kol ha'guf. Just as Hashem fills the entire world, so the Neshama fills the body. The Gemara creates that comparison. The Neshama to the body is like God to the world. And then he adds in a note, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, don't make an exact comparison. It's not trying to say that you can make an exact comparison. Obviously not at all. Because when we make such comparisons, it's using it as imagery rather than an actual comparison. And you just can't even make a comparison. It's not saying your Neshama is God. Well, Neshama is not saying that at all. Just in the following, there is the similarity. Just as the Neshama is a power, an energy created by God, and cannot really be fully grasped, other than your experience of it in your body. If you didn't have a body, you wouldn't be able to talk about your Neshama. You wouldn't be able to conceive of your Neshama. The only way your Neshama becomes objectified is by its attachment to your body. How much more so Hashem? Hashem is as indefinable except when he attaches to parts of the world or to the world or to the universe. That's touching on what we did last week. So Hashem could have kept himself in his essence, and then we would have had no experience of him at all. We couldn't have used a word. We couldn't have used the term, we wouldn't have known how to relate to him, we would have had no experience of him at all. Hashem chooses to engage in the world and interface with the world, which allows us to experience him. Just like the Neshama. If the Neshama wasn't in a body, we wouldn't experience Neshama. And there's no other way to define it. It's not something that you can define, except by experience. And he goes further with other Gemaras, and then he'll analyze them a little bit more deeply. He says in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, for example, there's an Avodah Zorah, there's a Gemara, a Braisa, that says, Kol ha-partzufos motorim chutz mi-partzuf odom. You can, according to this view, you can make all sorts of faces, you can draw and paint all sorts of faces, but not a human face. That's talking about really three-dimensional. So we have a problem with creating a human image, a complete human image. On the Farish time, why? Because in the pasuk, "Loita asun iti," you shall not create with me an image with me. And the Gemara learns that means "Loita asun oisi," don't make an image of me. Implying what? That the human image is an image of Hashem. Yes, in a kind of way it is, but of course it isn't.
So this paradox that we see this comparison, the neshama in the body is like God in the world. Don't make a human image because that's an image of me. Are we suggesting that these are images of God? That's what he's grappling with in this chapter. And he brings various tzukim that do this, that make this comparison. The lichoira yipola, and this is strange to understand because it says in Yeshayahu, ki al mi tadam yun, you can't compare God to anything or anyone. And yet we see the Nevi'im and others make these comparisons and talk about the human form as if it's God, or God as if it's in a human form. We talk about in Yechezkel, v'al debus hakise, Yechezkel says when he's describing the Merkava, when he's describing his vision of God, and he says, and on this throne that's being held by this whole system, there's a throne on top of it, and what's on the throne? Demus kamare odom. There is an image that looks like a human. And that's Hashem. I also time the Lord, but it's me to Daniel. You can't compare Hashem to anybody. But this is as I've explained previously. Our entire grasp of Hashem, who rak mitzadit chadruso yisborach lohayolomus, is only in our experience of God's attachment to the world. We can have no concept of Hashem in his essence. All we can conceive of is our experience of Hashem as he manifests in the world. And the way that the whole world is constructed and all the energies, the upper energies and the lower ones, everything together, the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhner, gives an unbelievably powerful idea. And that is that the human construct, the human being as we're structured, is a model of the universe. But it's not as if we're using the human form to give an image of Hashem. The universe is structured with the same circuitry as the human being. The Sudoyim Kibyatha, the whole protein, every detail of these worlds that constitute the universe, are built Ketavnis Koimas Odom, like the blueprint of a human being. The Sidur Kol Pirke Evor V'Gidol, there is a parallel to every bone and every sinew and every blood vessel. The Chol Protei Ainyonim Sheboi, every detail of the human physique. Bisach Dusom Echol B'Chaver, and the way they connect to one another. So the universe has the concept of a head, of eyes that can see, of ears that can gather, of a mouth that can express itself, of a neck that connects the top of the body to the rest of the body, of a spinal column and a spinal cord and a nervous system. Everything that we've got, and the movement of energy in the universe is a duplicate of the movement of energy inside the human body. It's an absolute duplicate. The Atzmusa Yidborach Mitpashet and Mitpatzeh B'Tzeich Kulom U'Mamalom, and Hashem's essence spreads through and it satiates all of this, all of these universes. So again, just as the Neshama fills the whole human body, so Hashem fills the whole human universe, which is a macro form of a gigantic body. V'hu nishmas odilhon, and he is its neshama. Hashem is the energy of the universe, the same way as the soul is the energy of the body. Ki b'yochel, so to say, ki inyan ha-neshama mispashitis and mispateis b'guf ha-odom. Lachein hu sheinu l'tzaro b'izborach ha-lochem zeh. That's why we can talk about Hashem as a human body. Because what we're talking about is not Hashem in essence, that we can't conceive of. What we're talking about is the relationship of God to the universe seen by the Nevi'im as the relationship between the Neshama to the body. So when they see God, they're as if seeing the soul of the universe. When Yechezkel says, I saw God, what did he see? he was able to access the soul of the universe. And the whole thing has a kind of a human form. That's why it says, on the chariot there was a human being. It looks like a human being. But it's massive, and it's the universe he was watching. And he was looking through the physical form of the universe to the energy. It was like these kind of x-ray things that are you know, the weather people have it. It's by heat. What are they called? Those infrared pictures where you're seeing energy. And you're looking at an infrared picture, you're seeing, visually, you're seeing energy. So if you could take an infrared picture, x-ray of a human being that was sensitive to the frequency of neshama energy, which is just a hugely high frequency of energy, then you would get a picture of the neshama in the body, so to say. And that's what the Nevi'im saw. They saw the universe, they saw an infrared picture of the universe, who was able to see the energy of Hashem in that infrared form, and oh, what did they see? It looked like a human being. In the universe's form, the way it all fitted together was like the human form. Doesn't mean it looked like a human being, like with the hands and feet, and that's not what he's talking about. The way it operated looked like, he suddenly saw the parallel. It operated like a human. He could see where the head was. He could see how it worked. He could see how it could stretch out. He could see how it could express itself. It could see how it could receive information. He looks at this and he says, this is like a human being. And that's why we talk about him, when we're talking about Hashem in the Torah, you'll hear us talking about Hashem's eye, the hand of Hashem, the arm of Hashem, the foot of Hashem. What are we talking about? It's not Hashem in essence, he doesn't have any of those things. It's that part of the universe that it parallels the arm or the foot or whatever it is in the human model, and the energy of God that drives that. That's what it means. And that leads him to say in the sixth chapter, so before that, he talks about, therefore, one of the reasons that we're so severe about murder is not because of the value of human life per se. The reason is, shekol mishu hu nogea be'ikunin sheli hu oved, kach im horag odom nefesh, kilu hu marve ikunin shel melech. The Gemara says that if in Sanhedrin, that when you take the life of a human being, it's as if you've taken God's image and destroyed it. And the king gets very angry. You know what happens if you burn the flag of a patriotic country in America? If you burn the flag, that's very serious stuff. People get very upset about that, obviously. And so if you take the image of the king in those days and you damaged or you burnt or you destroyed the image of the king, that was a terrible thing to do. So if you murder another human being, you've actually damaged the image of Hashem. That's what's serious about murder. And then he starts in the sixth parak, we won't do much of the sixth parak, but just the opening of it. A strange paradox. The neshama is spiritual. It's a force of energy. But what happens if you stop eating and drinking? The neshama goes. The neshama cannot remain attached to a body that isn't being nourished. Strange thing. Kein chibur atzmusa yisborach el ha'olamos. In the same way, God's attachment to the universe, shein soda odom agodol, which is the macro human, kedei la'amidim olekayim v'loitigal nafsho yisom. In order that Hashem's energy should remain attached in the universe, God's returning to Roshi Hashem decreed that you've got to nourish the universe. And how do you nourish the universe? Be'esek HaTorah, U'maseh HaMitzvot, Va'avodas HaTfilah Shel Am Segula. By the Jewish people learning Torah, keeping mitzvahs, and davening. We have the ability, through the Jewish people, the universe can be nourished. In the same way that food nourishes the human body. Here we've got a definition. This is so powerful. We've got a definition of the role of the Jewish people. What are we here for? What is our role? We keep Hashem attached to the world by nourishing the world. Because without that, Hashem would withdraw. And the world would cease to exist. Just as when the neshama withdraws from the body, so you deprive the body of food, the neshama withdraws, and the body dies. It's not the other way around. It's not that the body dies and then the neshama goes. The neshama goes and therefore the body dies. The body can't survive without a neshama. And if the, and why does the neshama go? Because you stop nourishing the body. That's the paradox. You've got to nourish the body to keep the neshama. And that's why there is a connection between health and well-being and spirituality. There's definitely a connection between that. It doesn't mean that you can't be an incredibly spiritual person if one isn't healthy, if one is unhealthy. But that health and nourishment is a requirement for retaining the attachment of the neshama to the body. In the same way, the universe needs nourishment, and the nourishment is the Jewish people. So now that everybody's worried about things like global warming, what are we worried about? The destruction of the universe, destruction of the world, destruction of life in the world. And it's true, we've got to be worried about these things. But that part of it is for the whole of humanity to worry about. But there's another part that we have to worry about. The world can be destroyed because we damage the ozone layer or because we cause global warming. We can damage the world, or we can pollute it in other ways. We can poison the world. But we can also starve the world. The fact that the universe needs nourishment is an idea that the goyim don't know. The non-Jewish world doesn't have that principle. The non-Jewish world thinks the universe is self-sustaining, and all you've got to do is not damage it. So you're right, you mustn't damage it. Same as the human body. Even if you're nourishing it, you could kill it. You take a gun and shoot, and then the neshama goes. You've killed it. You can kill the universe. We could kill our environment. We could kill the planet. Mustn't do that. That's right. That's correct. But that's not enough. Because even if you don't kill somebody, they can still die from lack of nourishment. The Jewish role in the world is to make sure that the universe is nourished. And we nourish it with three things. Deep learning of Torah, Esek HaTorah, sincere mitzvahs, which means both Ben Adam and Chavera, both interpersonal and between man and God, and tefillah. And by communicating with God, speaking to God, brochas, tefillah, we're able to nourish the world. That's what we need to have in our mind. When we're davening, that's what we have in our mind. When we're learning Torah, that's what are we doing right now? We're nourishing the world. We're giving, putting energy into the world that enables the neshama to remain attached to it, Hashem to remain attached to it, which enables the world to operate and to function. Okay.